the subject throughout the whole, maybe the last past 4 to 5 weeks on the Fresh Wind is this subject series that we've been dealing with. And Pastor Gary, I mean, if you've been listening to the messages, I mean, those are some transformational messages that we've been hearing over the last few weeks. Wouldn't you agree with that? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Pastor Gary, when he started off the first series, remember he started off speaking about the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit, and he talked about who the Holy Spirit is and why is it that we should care about the Holy Spirit. Then he moved on from there and he talked about the life-giving benefit of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit in giving us living air, all right, so that we can live for God. And then he talked about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is where we talked about some serious subject that we haven't discussed a lot, such as baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to handle the circumstances and to live out the purposes that he has for us and to tell our story to others. And then last week, Pastor Gary spoke about the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit. And in this series, he spoke about the spiritual gifts and how critical they are to help you lead in a fulfilling life. Today, we're going to talk about the subject of fructiferous. Say that word one more time. Fructiferous. All right. You guys, let me hear y'all say fructiferous. Fructiferous. All right. In some translation, it might say fructiferous. But fructiferous is the way I like to say it. It sounds a little bit easier on the tongue for me. But it's pretty much the same word. So today what we're going to be talking about is the fact that the indwelling Spirit, Holy Spirit, he wants to transform us from the inside out. And in doing that, what he plans on doing is to produce fruit in the lives of every single believer. Every one of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit now comes and he lives inside of us. And when the Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of us, his main goal is to be in the driver's seat of your life. And in doing that, he begins to transform you from the inside out. He begins to transform you from the inside out. Amen? And with that said, let us just bow our heads in a word of prayer as we get into this message for today. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord God. And as we open your word this morning, and as we begin to uncover what have been written in your word, help us, Lord God, that we will apply it to our daily lives. Help us, Lord God, that we may not just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word, Lord God, so that we may serve you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now, we live in South Florida, and one of the things that is common in South Florida is that you will find that there are a lot of people here that are here from probably in the Caribbean. And when people come from the Caribbean, you may know that you have some Caribbean folks live next to you if you look in their backyard and you find a fruit tree, right? Or you may find many fruit trees, right? So people from all over the Caribbean, when they come here, one of the first thing they do, they get a yard, and then they go in there, and they start planting up that backyard, right? To kind of make it a little bit homey, right? And just to have some fruits in there. So you might have some banana trees in there. You might have some apple trees, some mango trees in there, and so on and so forth. But that's one of the things that's common amongst us as Caribbeans. A story that happened to me maybe about 5 years ago, I'm going to share with you real quick. We came down to, where is it, Flamingo, and there's a nursery down here in Flamingo, I forgot the name of it. But we went down there one year, about 5 years ago, and we were looking for some plants. And when we went to the nursery, we couldn't help but notice that there were some fruit trees that was all over, and they were having a sale on them. And you know, when an island person goes and they see these fruit trees, one of the first things they start thinking is, you know, I'm going to plant up the whole yard and I'm going to do this and do that. So as I was looking through all the fruit trees that were there, one of the trees caught my eye. And the tree that caught my eye was a mango tree. But it wasn't just any mango tree. It was my favorite mango tree. And my favorite mango tree is what we call the Julie mango. All right, see, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. The Julie mango is one of the sweetest, most fleshy mango that you can have. And when you bite into that thing, I mean, it is just, it feels like heaven. You know, and I eat that thing all the way down to the seed, right? So I saw this tree, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this tree so we can plant it and have some Julie mango. So we bought the tree, right? And then after we bought the tree, we went to Home Depot. Then we bought a flower pot. And then we get the pot, and then we got the fertilizer and everything, and then we planted the tree. And so we planted the tree in the pot, and we kept watering it, and the tree began to grow. And after the tree began to grow, we realized, you know what? This pot is not big enough for the tree. So we took it out of the pot, and then we put it into the earth just to make it grow a little bit better, right? And so the tree began to grow, and then about the first year, I noticed the tree began to blossom. And I was excited because finally I'm sitting here like getting ready because we're about to have some Julie mango, right? And then about a short time after that, I noticed that all the blossom just fell off the tree. And I was like, okay. So my wife was like, you know, sometimes they say that it blossoms first and then all the blossom falls off. And then the following year is when you'll have fruit. So therefore, I was like waiting. So the next year come. And I'm looking at the tree. I didn't see any blossom. I mean, the tree looked pretty. It was growing nice and everything. But no blossom. And I'm sitting there, I'm a little bit upset because I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. So we tried everything to try to see if we can work this tree to make sure that this tree can bear. The next year come, nothing. After 5 years, the tree is still standing there in my backyard, just looking pretty. That's it. Still no fruit. Man, I got so upset. One day, I just took up the machete, and I was about to chop it down. But then when I think about all the work that went into planting this tree, I'm like, I'm still going to give it another chance. So if you ever come to my house, it's still there in the backyard. It will be the nice, fluffy mango tree in the back with no fruit, no blossom, nothing. Nothing. So when that happened, you can just imagine how angry that might have made me feel on the inside and how disappointed I was when I saw that this tree just wouldn't bear fruit. And, you know, I kind of thought about it. And when I thought about the scriptures, you know, I kind of thought about that's probably how Jesus must have felt, you know, about us as individuals. Because every single one of us, you know, after we have been saved, one of the things that Jesus does is he calls us to live a life that exemplifies who he is and to display the character of who he is. And there are some times when we as believers, we don't normally grow in that way. And what are the reasons why? As a matter of fact, Jesus had an encounter one time in the scriptures in the book of Mark. It talked about the fact that Jesus was walking one day and then he saw a fig tree far off. And when he saw the fig tree, Jesus saw the leaves on it. And usually when you see the leaves on it, that means that there was some fruits there before. So Jesus walked over to the fig tree and he noticed that the fig tree had no fruit. And so Jesus says, you know what? This is weird. You're not supposed to be here without making any fruits. So Jesus told the fig tree, you know what? From now on, nobody else will ever eat anything from you. The next morning when the disciples woke up and they passed by the fig tree, they noticed that the fig tree was withered from the root. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why? Because the fig tree did not bear any fruit. You see, a lot of us as believers, a lot of us are like my mango tree. You see, we get saved and we've been coming to church for a while. We hear the word of God. We know the scriptures. When it comes to sword drills, we're flawless. You just put that Bible up and I'll find that verse right away. You know, we're Bible-believing Christians, but there is something missing. We're still unfulfilled. We still haven't become who God has created us to be. We're still struggling with some of the same things that we've been struggling with since the same day that we got saved. Some of us are still struggling with immorality. Some of us are still struggling with forgiving others. Some of us are still struggling with anger, resentment. Some of us still pop off at the mouth the minute somebody says something about what we're wearing or how we look. We do that because someone has wronged us. And the reason for that is because it could be that there is no fruit in our lives. Since the time that we have come to know Jesus, there hasn't been much fruit in our life. And the fruit that we're talking about is we're talking about the behaviors that are consistent with the belief in Jesus Christ. The behaviors that are consistent with your belief. You see, most of us, we have belief. But if our belief doesn't change our behavior, we don't really have belief at all. And when Jesus saved you, he didn't just save you for you to be an intellectual Christian. Jesus saved you to be a transformational person so that you can bear fruit. And that is the things that has happened to some of us as believers. And when we are like that, you can just imagine how frustrated this can be. And how Jesus must look at some of us and say, I'm a bit disappointed. Why? Because we were called to bear fruit. We were called to have lives that reflects the characteristic of the Creator that lives on the inside of us. You see, Jesus said this. He said, listen, every branch that is connected to me, every branch that's connected to the vine, he says, will bear fruit. But oftentimes, what happens is that we misunderstand what he means by bearing fruit. We misunderstand the process of fructiferous. We think that bearing fruit depends on us. But fruit bearing solely depends on the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But one of the things that the Spirit does, he requires our active participation in order for him to bear fruit in our lives. And so it is important that you and I understand this, that the Spirit of God who lives inside of you, who lives inside of me, he wants to be fructiferous in your lives. But he will not do it without your active participation. See, he requires that participation in order to accomplish his work. And when we respond to the Holy Spirit's guidance, he begins to produce the fruit in our lives that transforms us into the character that represents our Creator. Into the character that represents our Creator. In the book of Galatians, which is a very interesting book that was written by a man by the name of Paul. Now, Paul was a man who, throughout his life, his number one mission was to kill Christians. And one day, Jesus just slapped him down and converted Paul. And Paul became changed. He became a changed man. And so after he became changed, he became a follower of Jesus. And then now, Paul was this guy who his life was so radically changed by Jesus that he decided, you know what, I can't really keep this to myself. This transformation that Jesus did to me, I got to bring it to the rest of the world. And so Paul went off on missionary journeys to do that. As a matter of fact, majority of the books in the New Testament was written by Paul. Interesting, right? This is a guy who was going to kill Christians. And so in the book of Galatians, Paul began to deal with an issue that happened to the Galatians church. The Galatians church was actually started by Paul and Barnabas on their first or second missionary journey. They went about. And so when they begin to build the church, they established the church, and they established all the teachings in the church. After they left, they realized that there were some other teachings that crept into the church. And one of the things that happened in the church was that there were a lot of people who were converts from Judaism. And then there were Gentiles that were being converted. But as the Gentiles are being converted, the people who were from Judaism, they kept saying to the Gentile people, hey, now that you have been converted and now that you have trusted Jesus Christ, guess what needs to happen now? Y'all need to come and follow the law. And the law says that all y'all need to be circumcised. What? we got to get circumcised. Now, you got to remember that for the Jewish people, this happened at birth. Now you have these adult people who have just been converted, and you're telling them that they got to go through the process of circumcision? Whew! Some of you guys might not understand the whole ramification of that, but most males in here are probably cringing right now. Like, thank God for grace. Because if it wasn't for grace, you know. So Paul began to address the issue with the church. And Paul began to let them realize that, listen, you have to understand something. Once you have become a child of God, once you have become a believer, once you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? We don't need to be subscribing to the law anymore. Why? Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You see, the law was there to make people righteous. So that means if you sinned, right, you would go and you would have to do a sacrifice unto God for your sins. But that really didn't clean you on the inside. All it did was just make you look good on the outside, right? And so Jesus Christ came, and when Jesus came, he came to die on the cross for your sins and mine so that no more will you have to go and make a sacrifice for the sins that you have committed. Why? Because now that same Jesus who died on the cross, he now comes down, and he now resides on the inside of you, and he becomes the law that is inside of you. And this is what Paul was trying to educate them about. Paul was trying to talk to them about. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, I want you to see you here. Paul was beginning to let the believers know that, listen, there is something that happened on the inside of you that now frees you from following the law. And what really happened is that transformation when Jesus died. He comes, he lives in you, and he puts his spirit in you. So now you don't have to subscribe to the law anymore. And so Paul begins to talk to them, and he says, listen, this is the process of becoming fructiferous. In order for you to become fructiferous, you have to first understand your freedom in Christ. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, and listen what he says. He says, listen, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Why? For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. What is the one command? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What was Paul speaking about? Paul was trying to educate the Galatians about their position in Christ as being free. That now that you're in Christ, you are free. But this freedom is not there so that you can go out there and just do anything that you want. It's not so you can go out there and just fulfill your sinful desire. The fact that you see the word flesh there, it means our sinful nature. And so Paul is saying, now that you're in Christ, you are free not to fulfill that sinful nature, but so that you can love one another. He begins the argument of implying that Christ did not set us free from the law so that we can do whatever we want. On the contrary, look what he says. Christ set us free to do more for others. He said, serve one another. And that's exactly what he said. And then he said, listen to this. He says, when you love, he says that you are completing the law, the entire law. What? So what Paul is saying here is, listen, anytime you as a believer love your neighbor, what you're actually doing is you are completing the law. You are fulfilling the whole idea of why the law was existed in the first place. He then said that when we love, we complete the entire law. It's kind of like this. I don't know if you've ever gone to the doctor or if you've ever had sick or anything, but I work in a skilled nursing facility, and one of the things that we notice with most patients is that they come in and they have a whole list of things that are wrong with them. With that whole list of things that are wrong with them, they have a whole list of medications. I don't know if any of you guys are probably like that. Some of you guys may be having some blood pressure issues. You might be having some gastrointestinal issues, and there's a pill for every single thing that you go through. Wouldn't it be great if they just created one pill that just took care of everything? This is the same thing that Paul was saying here. Paul was saying, listen, if you live by the law, one of the things you will find is you will become legalistic. And it will be all about do this, don't do this, da-da-da-da-da, and you'll be going on and on and on and on. But Paul then said, listen, we've got one law. Christ created one law. He narrowed the whole thing down to one law, and we're going to get right to that in a minute. And so what law was he really talking about? The law that Paul here was talking about was the law of Moses. See, Moses gave the law, and in the law, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says that we must love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, and all of our strength. That was the law that Moses gave the children of Israel. He said we must love God with everything. So I'm not just going to love a part of God, or I'm not just going to give a part of myself to God. What Moses here is saying, according to that law, we must love God with everything. Everything on the inside of us. Jesus was asked one time by some lawyers, and these lawyers were Pharisees and Sadducees. And if you know anything about that background, you will know that Pharisees and Sadducees, they're never together in anything. They're complete opposite. It's like having Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in the same room on the same bill. That ain't gonna happen. You understand what I'm saying? And they both came together, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they decided to trap Jesus. So they came to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, listen, I noticed something about you. You're a great person. You're a great man. You're great in everything that you do. But I got to ask you something. Which is the greatest commandment? See the trap that they're trying to give Jesus? Why do you think they asked Jesus that question? Well, here is why. They asked Jesus that question because, number one, there were 10 commandments, right? And what has happened is that the Jewish leaders, they have created over 613 other ceremonial laws to follow the 10 commandments. Get it? So look at the predicament that they're trying to put Jesus in. Jesus, which one of these are the greatest commandment? They wasn't asking Jesus because they wanted to know. Because, hey, we got 613 laws. So therefore, we kind of got that in check. He's just trying to trap you. Jesus looked at them and says, hey, listen, y'all know the commandment. And Jesus began to quote from the book of Leviticus. Jesus says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, with all your strength. And then he didn't stop there. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, what this? And in these are all the law of the prophets. You see that? The entirety of the law, Jesus boiled it down. It's two, but it's really one. And if you want me to simplify it for you, simply love God, love people. That's it. Jesus is saying all of the laws are boiled down into this. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. You see, one of the things that you notice from this particular verse here, and as we look back on verse number 14, verse number 13 in Galatians 5, when Paul was saying, hey, listen, you must serve one another humbly in love, right? For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command, love your neighbor as yourself. You will find that one of the things that's omitted there is love God. And I believe the reason why that is omitted there is because Paul is already of the understanding that if you are a believer and you have accepted Christ living inside of you, the love of God is already inside of you. So that part should have been already taken care of. The other part requires a lot more work. But here's the thing. The work that part requires is that if you really love God, the second part is easy. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Because here's the thing. Because when we are other-centered, Paul then says, listen, we won't bite and devour each other. See that? When we are thinking about others, we won't bite and devour each other. You see, if we do that, then we won't destroy one another. So then, what Paul is saying here is, to be fructiferous, it requires us to understand that Christ has freed us from the law. No more is the law required to make me righteous because Christ now is living on the inside of me. But then, God has something else in mind. So if I'm no longer required the law to make me righteous, how does this process work? Explain to me how this whole thing of being fructiferous work. So Paul now goes on to the next part. And Paul says, listen, in verse number 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, he says, so then, I say this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See that? Paul says, now that you have been freed from the law, there's a new law that is inside of you. And that person is now the Spirit of God living in you. This is where Jesus Christ has come and reside in the heart of every single believer in the person of the Holy Spirit. And his job is now to set root inside of you so he can make you fructiferous. And so Paul says, listen, I want you to walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Notice the wording that Paul used. To walk by the Spirit requires our full participation. To walk by the Spirit requires our full participation. It means that we become an active participant in the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, Jesus informed us earlier when he talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit, when he comes inside of you, one of the things that he says that the Holy Spirit will do is he will guide you into all truth. So when the Spirit of God comes in, he comes to guide you into all truth. So therefore, if the issue is love that he's trying to create in you, then the Holy Spirit is now inside of you, and his job is to guide you in that direction. And if the Holy Spirit is going to guide you in that direction, guess what? You've got to participate. You know, one of the things I've never seen is I've never seen a guide dog pulling a blind man. You ever seen that before? You ever seen a blind man just holding on the guide dog, and the guide dog is just running down the street while the blind man is probably like all over the place, you know, trying to hold on to it? No. As the dog is guiding the man, he's participating with that dog. And this is exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in the inside of you. He is there to guide you. But in order for him to guide you, you've got to participate. How do you participate in the guidance of the Holy Spirit? How do you do that? It happens by being obedient to the Spirit. See, when the Word of God comes on the inside of you, you have choices. And the choices you have is whether I'm going to obey or not. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit will influence you to obey. And he will tell you to obey. But then Paul tells us about something that happens on the inside of us. He tells us that, listen, remember the flesh that we talked about? Your old sinful nature? Yes, it's still there. It's still inside of you. And it's still going to be bothering you. And here's what Paul says. Paul gives us some interesting information about that. Verse 17, he says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. You see that? Paul is saying here, on the inside of you, you've got two natures. And those two natures on the inside of you are at war with each other. Every year when we go to camp, one of the things that we do, and we haven't done it this year and a couple of years ago, but we usually have a game of tug of war. And in tug of war, you'll have one team on one side and the other team on the other side. And then you'll have like a flag on the middle. And what you will have is that you will tell them to line up, and then you'll say, hey, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you all to pull. And the goal of one team is to try to pull the other team's flag on their side, and they will win. This is exactly what happens on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you, and now he's there to try to make you fructiferous. Here's the thing. The old nature, that old sinful nature, that old rebellious nature is on the inside of you too. But here's the problem. Both of them are opposing each other because both of them don't want you to choose. So you're in the middle and they're pulling you back and forth, pulling you back and forth. Why? Because one of them wants to become the dominant force in your life. Paul says, the one that should be the dominant force in your life as a believer is the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul says we must do what? Walk by the Spirit. He says when you walk by the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You see that? So every time the flesh comes up, as long as you're responding to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill that desire. And that desire will not become dominant in your life. It requires us to be acquainted with God's word and obey what God's word said. That's how you participate with the Holy Spirit's leading and with the Holy Spirit's guidance. So he says, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You will not be able to do that. So Paul is saying, hey, listen, in order for you to become fructiferous, one of the things you need to do is you need to understand our freedom in Christ to become fructiferous. The other thing you need is you need to understand the root of being fructiferous. And the root of it is the Holy Spirit who is now living in the inside of you with his law. And your job is to respond to him. Now, according to the text, Paul says, when you are yielding to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, when you respond to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the next thing that he does is he begins to make us fructiferous. And how does he make us fructiferous? He makes us fructiferous by producing fruit in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19, he talks about that there are two different types of fruits. He talks about the fruits of the flesh, of our old sinful nature. And then he talks about the most important fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So then here's Paul. Look what he says in verse number 19. He says, the acts of the flesh. Notice he said acts. Notice he pluralized it right there. The acts of the flesh are obvious, he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here is what Paul is saying. When you see these things in the life of someone, you will know what is dominant in that person's life. He's not talking about the person who is saved and every now and then there is something that happens and they make a mistake. No. When this is the dominance in their life, when this is something that they are known for, Paul is saying, that's a bad fruit. But then Paul goes on and he says, listen, the flesh produces fruits or acts of unrighteousness. But he said the Spirit of God produces fruit. Wow. You see, most of us have been confused throughout churches. Because sometimes we talk about this and we say the fruits of the Spirit. Here is the problem with that. You see, if I said fruits, right? What will happen? Most people will go ahead and they will think, you know what? I can choose which one I'm going to follow. I can choose which one I'm going to obey. Nathan, can you bring that bag right there for me, real quick, in front of the chair? See, most of us, we see this, and we think about the fruit of the Spirit. But Paul says, listen, Paul says, he goes on in verse number 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here is the interesting part about it. Paul is saying, listen. With those kind of fruits, with those kind of fruit right there inside of your life, Paul says, you don't need any law. You don't need any law. Any law. Camille, would you be able to put up that picture of the apple for me real quick? This is an apple. And one of the things that is interesting about this apple is it has several characteristics. The apple is red. By the looks of it, it's very juicy, right? And it's full of vitamin C. When you bite into that apple, it's sweet. Look at all the different characteristics. But here's the thing. It's still an apple. Now, other people may call it a banana. Seems like we've been watching the same channel. But regardless of what happened, it's still an apple. And Paul here is saying, now the fruit of the Spirit, singular. What Paul is saying is that when you, as an individual, have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of you. And when you now start in responding to the Holy Spirit, he now starts to produce fruit inside of you. And the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces, look at what he started off with. He started off with love. Wait a second. Remember Paul just talked about this at the beginning of the chapter? In verse number 13? Paul says what? When you love, it is fulfilling the law. So wait a second. The Holy Spirit is now living on the inside of you and I so that he can produce love. And here's the interesting thing about the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. One fruit. But here's the thing about it. This orange is a little hard. It's one fruit, but you'll notice something. It has many different pegs. You see that? Many different pegs. And each one of these pegs that you eat, guess what? It's still the same fruit. So here Paul is saying here is that the Spirit of God, he comes in you and he wants to produce this fruit in you. But here's the thing. See, most of us, what we have when we think about love is it's all theoretical. It's all an idea. And it's all based on emotions. Some of us are all attracted to just the feeling of love. But Paul here is saying the love that I'm really talking about is we're not just talking about theories. What we're talking about is practical stuff. Practical stuff. What? Love is practical. Why? Because it's about others. And here is the whole thing. You will know when you're loving by this. When other people gets the benefit. That's when you know you're loving. You will know when you're loving when other people gets the benefit. So Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. There are some people who, as we said earlier, they like to pick and choose which one they're going to follow. But Paul didn't really focus on the facts of their fruits. He focused on the fact that they're fruit. Now, one of the things that has happened is that usually when I go to the supermarket, I usually go into the line of the fruits, right? When I go into the fruits, one of the things that I usually do is I and my wife actually taught me how to do this. I usually just go in there and just pick up whatever looks good. But ladies know that when you go into the supermarket and you see fruits, what's the first thing you do? You pick them up and you feel them, right? Touch them, right? You kind of observe them a little bit, and if you see any little brown spots on them, you're like, okay, that's not a good fruit. That's, you know, and then you pick it up and you feel it, and then if it feels too soft, what do? Put it back down and you keep on searching. Guys, we don't have that time. I'm sorry. We're actually walking in the supermarket thinking, I got to get out of here as soon as I can, you know. And it's worse if our cell phone ring because we know that that's the wife on there telling us to get something else. So we're like, hey, listen, I'm just in and out. You know, but you see, that's the thing with most people, is that we come to church and we decide what we're going to follow. We decide that I'm going to be a little bit loving, but I can't stand Sister So-and-so. I have self-control, but I can't wait on Brother Gary. You see, we choose, we pick and choose what are the things that we're going to follow. So here Paul is saying, hey, listen, God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to create in you the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is that, and what is that fruit of the Spirit? It's the characteristic of who Christ is. Every single one of these, of this fruit right here, is an example of who Jesus is. When he talks about love here, what the Bible says, for God so what? Loved the world, that he did what? Gave. It talks about patience. It talks about kindness. It talks about self-control. All of these things are characteristics that we have seen in the person of Jesus. So here's what it is. The purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, right, is to transform the believers from the inside out so that we may resemble the characteristic of Jesus Christ. It's an inside job. And that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes inside of you. And when that happens, guess what, guys? Guess what? You'll be able to live out your purpose. You'll be able to tell your story to others. And then others' lives may also be transformed by you living out the fruit. So let's look at some of these things. First, he talks about love. See, love comes from the Greek word agape, which is the strongest expression of love in the Scriptures. It also expresses the true nature of God. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says that God is what? Love. The very nature and the characteristic of who God is that he is love and he is loving. And because he loves and he's loving, guess what he does? He loves. Love focus is on others. It's other-centered. It is not self-serving. And if you actually read this whole thing here and you take up, you take 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you put them side by side, you will find every single one of these characteristics here all under love. It gives us the details of this love. The next thing he said is that joy. He said joy. And joy is something that happens on the inside of us, right? It's something that's internally. You see, happiness is about something that happened on the external. See, some of us depend on something on the external to make us happy. But the Bible is saying that, listen, when you have joy, it's something from the inside. You see, God transformed you from where? The inside onto the outside. And he says that when you have that, you will have joy. Jesus wants to give you and I joy. The next thing is peace. Peace is about being, is well-being. It's really being in harmony with each other. It's being in harmony with each other. That means that I'm not going to fight with you. If we do have a disagreement, let it be a disagreement. But my disagreement is not going to cause a dissension. And it's not going to cause us to be divisive. A lot of churches have broken up over disagreements. A lot of Christians don't talk to each other because of disagreements. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, he produces peace inside of you. Patience. Kindness. Being sympathetic to others. Being generous to others. Goodwill, which is always looking for what is good in others and also hating what is evil. Faithfulness. The interesting thing about faithfulness is that it is always constant and it is consistent. That means that when someone looks at you and they see you, who you say you are is exactly who you are. There is no variation in between. And even 5 years from now, they can look at you and they will say, that brother is still a faithful brother. That sister is still a faithful sister. Because we see consistency in their lives. That is one of the things that the Spirit gives. He gives you gentleness. And then lastly, he gives you self-control. When self-control has to do with the ability to choose wrong or right. And the Spirit of God is giving you that self-control. Now here's the interesting thing. When the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you, and he begins to birth these things in you. And he begins to produce these fruit in you. Every fruit, when you open it on the inside, one of the things that you will always find is a seed. Now that seed could be the beginning of someone else's journey. So the question is, what does this look like in reality? What does this look like in reality? Because, you know, we're talking about that the Spirit of God wants to produce love inside of the believers. We're talking about that the Spirit of God wants to produce these characteristics inside of you. And it begins with love. And all of those characteristics also are there and are available. And it comes with it. What does this look like? You see, some of you or some of us, we may work at a job. And we may have some people on that job who may be different from us. We may have some people on the job who have a different sexual orientation from us. And they're on the inside of you. The flesh is going to tell you that the fact that this person is probably gay or something like that, or transgender, we just going to judge them and just tell them exactly how we feel. But then the Spirit of God, who is on the inside of you, who is now in opposition to that flesh, is going to say to you, hey, listen. Tell them I love them. Show them how much I love them. And then you respond to the Holy Spirit's voice, and you may say, hey, listen, how would you like me to take you out to lunch? Wow. Look at the power of what that can do. And you know what might happen? You responding to the Holy Spirit's voice, right? After a while, that person may come back to you and you say, you know what? There's something different about you. You know, everybody else wants to judge me. And everybody else wants to tell me what I'm doing wrong from what I'm doing right. But you don't really worry about that. What you really worry about is me. And you really want to demonstrate that love to me. What makes you that way? And then guess what you're going to say? Let me tell you about Jesus. You may have some friends that are out there that said, hey, listen, let's go to the strip club. But before we go, we got to stop and get some dollar bills because we got to make it rain. And you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, you know what? This might not be so right. But then as you're going along, that's the flesh is saying, do it. And then the Spirit of God now rise up on the inside of you, and the Spirit says, hey. Listen, remember the story of Job? Job says that I have made a covenant with my eye that I will not look at anything that is unrighteous or unholy. And because you are responding now to the Spirit of God, you respond. And then you look at your friends and you say, listen, man, as much as I really want to do this, I feel like I want to do this, I can't. I can't. Because something inside me tells me I can't do it. And then you know what? A couple of days later, your friends might be like, man, I noticed something different about you, man. Even though we hang out, you don't really want to do the same things that we do. What is it that makes you so different? And you know what you're going to say? Let me tell you about Jesus. You might be at home, and your husband may come in, and he may say, hey, honey, what's for dinner? And you'll be like, rah, 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 what did you cook? I mean, I've been at home all day, and I got to deal with the kids, and da-da-da-da-da. But that would be the flesh speaking, right? But then, no. The Spirit of God starts speaking to you and says, let your words be seasoned with what? Grace. And then you say, oh, honey, I'm a little tired, but you know what? I'm going to go around the kitchen and get you something right now. Wow. You know what might happen? First of all, he's going to say, I think I came to the wrong house. But then, you know, he might sit down a little bit later and say, you know, honey, I noticed something different about you. What is it? And that's when you're going to get a chance to tell your story. Can I tell you about Jesus? Here is the thing, folks. The Spirit of the living God wants to live on the inside of you so that he can transform you, so that your character will start emulating the character of Christ, so that can become a seed that will transform somebody else's life. So Paul says, hey, the way that you become fructiferous, you live by the Spirit of God. And Paul didn't only stop there. He says, you know what? Walk with the Spirit. In other words, submit yourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. There are many of you that are here this morning, and some of you might be here for the very first time. I don't know who you are, but you know, God have you here for a specific reason. And one of the reasons why God have you here is because he wants you to understand how much he really loves you. God wants you to understand that he loves you so much that he was willing to give up his life for you. And the reason why he gave up his life for you is so that he can come and live on the inside of you, because he wants you to transform you into becoming the person he has created you to be. So some of you are here for the very first time, and maybe you have never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. He has you here for a reason. He wants to demonstrate that love to you. If you are here this morning, and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to do that today, Jesus is saying, there is room for you right now. There is room for you right now. If that's you here this morning and you would like to do that, would you just simply just indicate by just raising your hand? Now, here's the thing. Raising your hand is not going to really save you. But here is what's going to happen. It's the start, because then you will get an opportunity to speak to God, and then God will begin to respond to you through his word. And through that, you will become one of his children so that he can start living on the inside of you. So again, if you're here and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you would like to do that today, would you just indicate by just raising your hands? God wants to demonstrate his love for you. His love is here and is waiting for anyone that's willing to open their hearts and allow him to come in. The second thing is, some of you might be here and you look at your life, and you look at some of the description that Paul gave about the sinful nature, and you realize that, you know what, deep down inside, a lot of those things have been dominant in my life. And if I was to really be truthful and honest right now, most people would look at me funny if they found out all of these things. But here's the thing. God is not here to condemn you. He's not here to judge you. But here's what God wants to do. God wants to clean that up. And in order for him to clean that up, God wants you to understand that you've got to start responding to his Holy Spirit. And it's when you respond to the Holy Spirit, he's going to begin to produce the fruit in your lives so that you can live a life that is more fulfilled. Just imagine what this church would look like if we were living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Just imagine what the community in Pembroke Pines would look like when they see us carrying out God's command. When they think of PCC, they would say, you know what? That's a church that has the love of God written all over them. With that being said, let us just pray. So if that is you and you're here and you would really like to make that commitment to the Lord this morning and say, you know what, Lord, I want to be more sensitive to your voice. I want to have your Holy Spirit lead me in everything that I do. While you're sitting there and while the music is playing, you know what, I'm not even going to call you to come up, and I'm not going to try to put you out there, but what I want you to do is just spend this time to talk to him about that. Let the Holy Spirit know. Because he wants to communicate with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to connect with you so that he can begin to make you fructiferous. So as the music is playing, just have that time and that heart-to-heart with God this morning. And as you hear this song playing, notice what the song is saying is that I'm giving myself away. You see, God wants to use every single one of you that are here this morning. And in order for him to use you, you have to make yourself available for him to use you. So as you're there and as you're beginning to think, just pray and say, God, just use me. Just use me. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your glory, O God. And we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. And Jesus Christ is now living on the inside of my heart, oh God. And not only that, but he brings the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit is there, and he's our friend, and he's our comforter, and he's our guide. And you are there so that you can guide us to live out your commands. And so as we are in your presence this morning, Holy Spirit, we are just saying, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit, because we want to be used by you. And so today, we give ourselves away. In Jesus' name.